The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Glad you're here. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. It's not working? Hold on a minute. Don't rejoice yet. It was working a minute ago. Hold on a minute. We have technical difficulties here. Now we're live. There we go. Needed the magic touch. 40 years of computer programming, I can learn to fix anything. Amen. Well, good to be here. We have survived another week. All right, not everybody did, but we did, so that's a good news. And what? We're thriving. Amen. That's what I want to hear. See, somebody corrected me correctly. Amen. Well, Jesus is still on the throne. Don't worry about all the political humbug that's going on. It's not over, and we'll just keep waiting and trusting the Lord and praying and doing all those things. So in the meantime, we will enjoy Veterans Day. It's Veterans Day, so we're going to have some special stuff for you, some videos. I got my patriotic tie on, thanks to George and Gail Schmidt, who gave this to me last year. I love it. I'm always trying to find the red, white, and blue colors, and I don't have to worry anymore. Hey, there he's got his flag on. There you go. Amen. Yes? Oh, and Miss Pat's got her thing on. So, and those of you who don't, we'll have to get you a pin or something that you can wear on Veterans Day. Let's pray. We'll start out. Oh, before we say that, Becky and Ro are still in Tennessee with her mother, and the plan is for them to be back next week. Okay, and if they're not back next week, we're going to go get them and bring them back. Okay. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for all things. We rejoice in you. You're our Lord and our King and our Savior. You rule over the nations of the world. You have created all things. All authority and power and might comes from you. And Father, as we observe this Veterans Day, I pray for our veterans around the nation, wherever they may be, their families, that you would bless them. Those who are on active duty around the world, keep them safe and bring them home to their family at the appropriate hour. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, Jim, we start with the Star Spangled Banner. Let's do it. He's going to do it. All right.
smoke away. You were singing over me. And you have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. And you have been so, so kind.
Precious son died for us. triumphant from the grave. He opened the portal to heaven. All who would believe, all you asked of us is to believe. And we believe, Lord, as best we know how. I'm glad you didn't tell us we had to understand, because we don't understand it all, but we believe it all. Father, you said that without faith it's impossible to please you. For those who come to you must believe that you are, and that you're the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Lord, we seek you, and we found you, but better than that, you found us. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you. We praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Mighty God we serve. We're a day late, but not a dollar short with Veterans Day. We usually do it the Sunday before Veterans Day, but it fell in the middle of the week. And so it just, we had some other things on our schedule, so we decided to put it off for today. But it's always a special day in the life of our church to honor our vets and those who have served. And I know we have a couple here, and maybe some that I don't know about. So I'll start way in the back with the guys in the media room. Why don't you tell us your rank in the branch of service? U.S. Navy. All right. Go Navy. Hey, thank you.
U.S. Navy.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Anybody else? Any other military here? What's that? Yeah, daughter Danielle. But she's not here. Well, we need to get her here. She's still on active duty, isn't she? Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for serving, and all your family members. I know many of you have children and grandchildren and just family members, uncles, aunts. I'm too old, but I'll tell you a story. But I remember during World War II, I was just a little tyke, but I remember when the war ended because it was a big celebration. There was a lot of hoopla going on. And my uncle, who was in the Coast Guard, had served in Europe, believe it or not. You know, you think of the Coast Guard just being here. But he was on a troop transport, of all things, to Queen Mary. And they ferried soldiers from the United States to Europe and into the Pacific and other places. So that was how he served. But being just a little kid, every night when you go to bed, my mother used to pray with me and said, God bless Uncle Joe and bring him home safe. God bless Uncle Joe and bring him home safe. Our whole family prayed for him, and God did bless us, and he came home safe. And I remember when he came home, and he looked so dapper in his uniform, and he was so excited. But the most excited person was his girlfriend that he left behind and hadn't seen in years. And her dad owned a home in Waverly, Mississippi. And we used to spend a lot of time there during the summer and enjoyed it. And this, the summer he came home, we all went out there together. And I can still see my aunt and uncle, who have now gone on to be with the Lord, and how excited they were to see each other. So it gave me a vivid memory of what it was like for those who were served and came home. Through the years, I've studied a bit about the war and veterans and those things, and the joy is those who come home. The pain is for those who don't. You know, there are people who grow up without their dad or their mother because of the horrors of war. So, but we do remember all those who served, and we're going to do that today. And I've got some videos for you and some other things. But I want to start off by showing you a scripture. And it's why veterans deserve America's support. And do I have this? There we go. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That is a truth that echoes through the ages from when it was written to us. The first casualties of war actually happened is when sin and death entered into the world. That was the first casualties. And the horror of men and women who go into battle and serve, and it's just beyond comprehension, the sacrifice in the families. I know that Jim has told a lot of stories through the years about serving. He was the weatherman for the fleet in the middle of the Mediterranean. He starts a lot of his stories. I was on a ship in the middle of the Mediterranean. But while he was in the ship in the middle of the Mediterranean, his wife and children were here. And he spent a lot of years in deployment. And so family pays a big sacrifice. You know, even now when your kids go off into service and your grandkids, you know about it. And, you know, you always want to make sure they come home safe. It's a dangerous world. The best of those who join the military are those who swear allegiance and put their lives on the line. There's a friend of mine whose son joined the military, and he primarily did it for an education. Because the military will educate you for free, but they want your service. I mean, there's a price attached to it. And her son got deployed into, I believe he was in Iraq or Afghanistan, one of the two, I can't remember. She was really, really distressed. And she called me, and I spoke to her, and I said, look, your son made a decision. He didn't join the Boy Scouts or the Cub Scouts. He joined the United States Army. And they called him, and they need him. Now, your job is to pray for him that he comes home safe. And I said, but he's a man. He knows what he's doing. He's been trained, and he's well-equipped. And the great probability is that he'll come home. Most come home. Fortunately, most do come home. And that was a case where he did come home, safe and sound. He now has a family, and he's on with his life. He's older now. But it is something that, you know, those who do the best who take the oath to serve and protect and defend. The worst is those who cause such conflict in the world that we have to send our youth out to war. I think sometimes we miss, particularly when we had major wars such as World War I, World War II, Vietnam, and Korea, and recently with Iraq and Afghanistan, and that it's young kids that go to war. You know, they're 17, 18, 19 years old. There's a friend of mine who has served in Vietnam, and he was known as an old man because he was 30 when he went in. So wasn't quite 30, but he was considered an old man. So it's the young who pay the price more than anyone else. And so that's the horrors of it all, that they have to go. The Veterans Day, when we honor those who have stood on the wall, and they have a video that the first one I want to show you, and it's titled The Sacrifice of One. So, Jim, if you'll play that video, we will watch it, and then I'll have a few comments for you.
Dear Dad, after all these years, I've never stopped writing. I still remember many of the letters I've written you, and the moments I wish you could have seen.
Dear Daddy, I'm sad you had to leave, but I try real hard to remember that you told me you'll always love me and to write you all the time. I didn't want you to go. But you pulled me close and hugged me tight, and you said that some things are worth fighting for.
Dear Daddy, I learned how to roller skate today. You'd be so proud. I fell down sometimes and skinned my knees, so I tried again and again. I was brave just like you.
Hey, Dad. Sorry I haven't ridden in a while. I'm 14 today. Can you believe it? Don't worry, though. No boyfriends. Mom and I are doing well, so Sometimes we get lonely, but it's not too bad. Dear Dad, high school graduation. I really wish you were here today. College is just around the corner. I'm staying close to home, though. I figured you'd want me to help keep an eye on Mom. Dear Dad, today I married the man of my dreams. He reminds me of you. He's gentle, yet strong. He loves serving me, and he can make me laugh all the time, just like you could. Granddaddy went ahead and walked me down the aisle, said that you'd be proud of me. It was a wonderful day seeing so many friends. We talked about you a lot and how we wished you were here. Oh, Daddy, I love coming to visit you. This time, I brought someone else, your granddaughter. I tell her about you all the time. We talk about the letters I write you and that maybe she can write you too someday. Yesterday, she told me she'd love to meet you. So I pulled her close, hugged her tight, and told her about how some things in this world are worth fighting for, even dying for. Love always, your daughter.
That's a pretty poignant truth displayed for us here today. And that story has been told and retold more times than we could imagine. But it's a real story. It's not fake news. It's real men, women, boys, girls, children do without their kids. You know, we see a lot of advertisement on TV for wounded warriors and for those who provide homes and other things for the Gold Star families. And every one of them just touches me. I just don't see it. That I don't get moved by it all. About the fact of a beautiful young woman with children whose husband didn't come home. That's a reality of what war does. And so we should always purpose to make sure that we honor our veterans. That we think of them, we think of their families. For us, it's just stories, it's just video on a screen, but for them, it's reality. Each Memorial Day, they have a special program at the mall in Washington, D.C. I don't know many of you have seen it. And they tell the stories of those who serve. And I'd recommend you put that on your schedule of things to do on Memorial Day to see that. Because they have the real people there, and they have people who tell their story, and then you get to meet the actual people whose story is being told. And it's amazing. We've had, according to some statistics I want to show you, since 2013 census, there are 19.6 million veterans in our country. Gives you an idea of how many have served. I mean, that's a pretty big number. According to that same census, 3.6 million service-connected disabilities. I guess being an amputee in a small way, I understand a little bit of some of the ones that we see for the wounded warriors and these young, virile, strong young men with a leg, two legs, an arm, both arms, all four limbs missing from the horrors of war. And they live with it day by day. It's difficult to get along without one arm. I can't imagine what it's like to be missing both arms and how difficult that might be. So there's a high price, and we need to remember that. I feel a responsibility to bring it up to you and bring these things to your mind so we won't forget. Major U.S. casualties in wars, deaths, wounded, and when it took place. And this is from a major source from the Department of Defense where I got this information. In the Iraq War, there were 4,800 deaths, 31,965 wounded. That was from 2003 until now. Afghanistan, 2,344 deaths, 19,675 wounded from 2001 until now. The Gulf War, 256 deaths, 849 wounded from 1990 to 1991. The Vietnam War, 58,209 deaths, 153,303. By the way, while I'm mentioning that, if you have ever have the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C., I'd highly recommend you go visit the Vietnam Memorial. It's one of the most moving things. Now, a lot of memorials, and I like to visit them all when I go, but the Vietnam Memorial is just, it's breathtaking. The way it's built, the top of it, it's these big marble slabs, and the top is level with the ground, and so it's kind of dug down. And so you walk down into the memorial. You know, it's all open, but it's just a wall. And it's got the names of those who have fallen. And it's got the years from the first death until the last ones. And as you walk down and you see these names, and when you get down to the bottom of it and you look up, it's just, you know, just way over your head, I guess 15, 20 feet above your head, you see the names up there. And it's just breathtaking. And there's always someone who came, and they leave a little flower. You know, they'll sometimes it's where the crease is, where the slabs meet, they'll have a flower stuck there or down at the bottom. And you may not know this, but there is a museum where all of the things that have been left there are kept. They have things as big as motorcycles that were left in memory of someone. That's a very real, that'll change the way you think about things if you ever get a chance to go to the Vietnam Memorial. So, and that was from 55 to 75. And by the way, George Schmidt was in Vietnam. Okay, you may not know that. Korean War, this is the forgotten war because it was called a police action. The difference between a police action and a war is the word. It's still a war. And you'll see this, but 36,515 died, 92,134 were wounded. World War II, 405,399 deaths. The wounded, 670,846. By the way, what you don't see here is the missing in action. Those that they don't know. We don't know the exact numbers. That war was so big that they just couldn't keep track of all who died. If you haven't done so, go to the World War II Museum down in New Orleans. It is something to see. When that movie, there's a movie that you can watch when you go in, and it was produced by Tom Hanks. And it's very, it's a big panoramic screen. It goes 180 degrees in front of you. And they put the place in complete darkness. And so, and I mean, it's really dark. And there's a little spot of light that'll catch your eye in the middle. And it starts to grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger until the whole screen is filled from one side to the other. It's a big, big, big screen. And it's a number. And the number is 70 million. And it kind of zooms back, and underneath that, they say, casualties of World War II. 70 million people. Now, that's civilians. Most of those are civilians, by the way. So it gives you an idea of how big that war really was when you see that number. World War I, called the Great War, 116,516 deaths, 204,002 wounded. Civil War. You probably didn't know this, 625,000 died, 281,880 wounded. It's my understanding that this includes the North and the South. And the reason that statistic is kept that way, Abraham Lincoln never believed that the state had the right to secede from the Union. And he called them the Rebellion. And it was soldier against soldier, but he felt that that he really fought hard to keep the Union together. That was his mindset. The Revolutionary War, this is just a number, I guess they just pulled out of history as best they could, 25,000 dead, and they got 25,000 wounded. Nobody really knows. 1775 to 1783. The grand total is 1,343,812 have died. 1,529,230 wounded. And missing in action, 38,159. When you say I will and you put on a uniform, you can be listed in this number. Maybe not. But when the call comes, you go. And you know, every once in a while you hear that a helicopter someplace crashed or a building was blown up, a ship went down. Those are real people, you know, real military people who paid a very, very high price so that you could sit here in this beautiful air-conditioned building, enjoy it. I'll be watching at home or wherever you are on Facebook, and that has been provided for you. There's a very poignant scene in the movie Saving Private Ryan. If you haven't seen it, I'd recommend it. It's some spots are not easy to watch. Those who were in World War II and saw that movie said it was so real that they felt they were back there. You know, that was from people who had been there. In the story line of the movie is that they were trying to find this guy, Private Ryan, whose brother was killed in the service. I believe it was one or maybe two brothers that were killed. And the commanding officer wanted to get this boy and sent him home so that his mother wouldn't lose all of the family. That was the theme. And so Tom Hanks was the star of the movie, and he took four or five guys, and they went looking to try to find Private Ryan. And they did. It wasn't easy, but in the chaos of war and World War II, they found him. And I won't tell you the whole storyline in case you see it, but Tom Hanks died in the process. The end of the movie is you see an older man, probably he looked like he was 65, 70 years old, with his family, and they're walking through the graves of in Europe. I think it was at Normandy. I think it was that's where it was. And he found a headstone of the real man. It's a true story, played by Tom Hanks. And he stood there, and he said, I hope I made it worth it, your life. In other words, that your life was worth the life that I've had. And it was just breathtaking to see it, because somebody died so somebody else can live. And that's the code of the military, and many a man has given his life for his comrades in arms. So let's talk a little bit about why we honor our veterans. The veterans deserve our thanks. 1 Samuel 16:11-13. Let me show you a couple of scriptures that help prove the point that I want to get through. This is when Samuel was looking for a king to replace Saul. And so he asked Jesse, this is Samuel asking Jesse, are these all the sons that you have? If you remember the story, all the sons were brought to, he said, let me see you boys. And each one he saw, God said, no, that's not the one, that's not the one. And so, do you have any sons? Are these all the sons that you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered. But he is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, being small, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David and power. David was a warrior. That's what he was. He was a fighter. And you read the story of David, there's many a man that met his maker because of David. He was he could fight and was well recognized for that. The call to service in America began a long time ago, before the first young man put on a uniform and picked up a gun. And there's a video I want you to see. I don't see Jim. Is he out running around? Okay. I'll wait. When he's back, he can show the second video. But Columbus believed that God was involved in the forging of a new nation. He believed that. He wrote it in his diary. I've had to did the research and actually found a modern version of what he wrote. Had to update the language somewhat because his language is a little archaic as compared to our language. But he believed that God was in it and that God told him to come to America and that God was establishing a new nation here to be conceived in liberty. But any nation that's forged has a price. And Jim's back. And Jim, would you show that video, Two Freedoms, for us?
There are two types of freedom. One is a freedom that allows us to go where we want to go. To say what we want to say. To live where we want to live. And to dream big dreams and pursue them. Veterans over the centuries have sacrificed so much to obtain and preserve this precious freedom, which also includes the God-given right to worship our Creator anytime, anywhere. Which leads us to the other type of freedom, a greater freedom that can only be found in Christ, who died as a ransom to set us free. This is a freedom from a life of futility. Freedom from the tyranny of sin, regret, hate, and bitterness. It is the freedom to love God and to love your neighbor. We want to say many thanks to the veterans who have served to preserve our political freedoms, which allow us to freely worship our Creator, who gives us that greater freedom we all so desperately need.
Yes, there's the freedom of a nation, and there's the freedom, the biggest freedom of all, is the freedom that God provides for us. I think it's incumbent upon us, spring chickens, as they say in this room. We've all been around for a while, and most of us have grandkids. Your grandkids are not going to learn about our nation being founded on God in school. It's not taught anymore. It becomes the responsibility of our of parents to do so, and parents are not doing it. And so the only hope those kids have to find out the truth is you, grandparents. And you would be wise to spend time with your grandkids and explain to them about the price paid for America to forge it and the price paid to keep it. So I'd encourage you to do that. The pilgrims rose up and came here to establish religious freedom. Keep your blooming hands off our religious freedom. It boils my blood to see churches shut down during this COVID thing. And still shut down, by the way. In fact, especially in some of the coastal states of California and New York and others, where churches are still being shut down. I told you this, and thank God that he was reelected. Our DA, Warren Montgomery, and he told me eyeball to eyeball on two occasions that no one would ever get arrested for having church. I didn't say that. He said no one would ever be charged as long as he was in office in St. Tammany, Washington Parish, for having church. That's what he said. He said, they might arrest you. I can't stop the police from arresting you, but you will not be charged. I promise you that. And that spoke volumes to me. I mean, he already had my vote, but then I thought maybe if I could vote twice for him, I'd do that. we're very fortunate to have that liberty. The Patriots rose up to forge a nation. Most nations are begin by the violence of someone going in and taking the land from them. In our case, the land was here, and we finally just had to break free from the tyranny of England. But the Patriots rose up and paid a price. We don't know the numbers, as you saw from the slide I put up for you, but there was a bunch. Everyone, every American needs to read a biography, not a biography, a history of Valley Forge. You read Valley Forge, you will never think of the freedom and the price that was paid in the colonial war once you've read that. Those people suffered and died unbelievably. Valley Forge was a respite in the winter during the war, where Washington took his troops, to the ones he had left. I mean, they were dying in battle, and they were dying from cold. They were ill-equipped. They didn't have many of them didn't have shoes. They marched to Valley Forge, and they have first-hand accounts written by those who were there that there was a trail of blood in the snow where the feet of those who didn't have shoes was bleeding, walking on ice and snow to get to Valley Forge. And it was at Valley Forge that the army was reconstituted and put together and went forth and won that war. But you need to read Valley Forge. Newt Gingrich is a great historian. You might think of him as just a politician. He's a great historian. And his book about Valley Forge is the best one I've read. So I'd really encourage you to do that. The military never seeks fame or fortune, but only to live in peace. We don't go out to gain land, but we go to war to liberate land for other people. Thomas Paine, who was a great writer and had a great impact during the Colonial War, he wrote a booklet called The Common Man. I want to read you just a little bit that he wrote about. And the reason he wrote it, by the way, that they were having colonial, it was the volunteer army, all right? Colonial soldiers, when their time was up, they were going back home. And the army was being depleted. And Washington's army was just disappearing. And Thomas Paine wrote this about that. He said, these are the times that try men's soul. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. Those who were leaving, he called them summer soldiers and sunshine patriots. The hardness of war was making them leave. They shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. The harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is the dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods. And it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be rated highly. There's a price to pay for freedom. And those men in that era, you know, I've told you some of this before, but never forget that a band of poorly trained, poorly equipped men took their hunting gear primarily and went to war against the most well-trained, well-equipped army in the entire world, and that was Britain. The fact that that war was won could only have been the hand of God that allowed them to do that. So, another reason that we honor our veterans is veterans deserve our gratitude. 1 Samuel 17:45-47. David said to the Philistine, David's now, you know, at that moment in time, the David and the giant moment. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I'll give the carcass, I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Now there's a mighty man of valor. They say that nobody knows for sure because the measurements are difficult to put together, but this guy was probably about 9 foot tall, 9.5 foot tall, maybe 10. His spear and his sword and his shield was so heavy, it would take a big man to pick them up and to use them. And David stands there as just a young boy in his shepherd's clothes. You remember the story that Saul tried to dress him in the armor of Saul, and he said, "This is not my battle gear. This is what I'll use." And he went off with a slingshot. Well, there's a picture there that we don't trust in the power of man, but we trust in the power of God to accomplish things. I know right now that 72 million people are upset because we wanted Donald Trump to be reelected. It's not over yet, and that count is still going on, and I suspect that he will end up being elected, but that's my opinion. But we don't trust in Donald Trump. We don't trust the United States military. We trust in the Lord our God. That's what this is all about. David would not let God or his people be defamed. And we need to remember that. It needs to be deep inside the core of who we are. People are really stressed out right now. And we're seeing, you know, it's living before our very eyes. There was a march on Washington yesterday by Trump supporters. I didn't get the number, but they said it was in the tens of thousands. And Antifa, that radical group, and Black Lives Matter came against them, and there was a big many skirmishes yesterday in Washington, D.C. I hope that's over with the violence of it at any rate. Probably one of the greatest orators we've ever had in the United States is Ronald Reagan. And he's got a video that I think is worth seeing. This is a little bit different than the ones we normally have seen. So, Jim, if you'll put that video, Gratitude, up, I think we'll learn something from it.
"Someday, Liz, I'll go back," said Private First Class Peter Robert Zanetta of the 37th Engineer Combat Battalion and first assault wave to hit Omaha Beach. "I'll go back and I'll see it all again. I'll see the beach, the barricades, and the graves." Those words of Private Zanatta come to us from his daughter, Lisa Zanatta Hinn, in a heart-rending story about the event her father spoke of so often. She tells some of his stories of World War II, but says of her father, the story to end all stories was D-Day. He made me feel the fear of being on that boat waiting to land. I could smell the ocean and feel the seasickness. I could see the looks on his fellow soldiers' faces, the fear, the anguish, the uncertainty of what lay ahead. And when they landed, I can feel the strength and courage of the men who took those first steps through the tide to what must have surely looked like instant death. And like all the families of those who went to war, she describes how she came to realize her own father's survival was a miracle. So many men died. I know that my father watched many of his friends be killed. I know that he must have died inside a little each time. Lisa Zanatta Hinn began her story by quoting her father, who promised that he would return to Normandy. She ended with a promise to her father, who died 8 years ago of cancer. I'm going there, Dad. And I'll see the beaches and the barricades and the monuments. I'll see the graves, and I'll put flowers there just like you wanted to do. I'll feel all the things you made me feel through your stories and your eyes. I'll never forget what you went through, Dad, nor will I let anyone else forget. And Dad, I'll always be proud. Through the words of his loving daughter, who is here with us today, a D-Day veteran has shown us the meaning of this day far better than any president can. It is enough for us to say about Private Zanatta and all the men of honor and courage, we will always remember. We will always be proud. We will always be prepared, so we may be always free.
There was a missionary that I met many years ago, and he was a missionary to the Micronesian Islands. Where a lot of the war in World War II took place in the Pacific. And he said he had a boat. It was a small boat, but it was a boat. And he left his missionary post, island that he was on. I think it was the island of Palau, if I'm not mistaken. And he said he went over to Iwo Jima. And you saw the Iwo Jima statue right there. It's immense if you ever see it. I mean, you couldn't put it in this room. It's so big. And he said when he got to Iwo Jima, it looked just like he had seen it in film. You know, it's just a rocky outcrop, you know, sticking out of the ocean, black with the volcanic remains of it's a volcanic island the way it was built in the mountain where the Marine Corps monument honors those who were there. It was climbable, and he climbed up to the top of it. That's where the flag was put. And he said it was a monument up there, and it had a brass plate on it. And he said, in part, the plate said, "Lest we forget." And he said the thing that struck him was, that plate was bolted on with four bolts at each corner. Three of the bolts had rusted off. And it was hanging at a cocked angle where it slid down, come down, and was just hanging there. And he said, it just really impressed on him. He said, lest we forget, but he said, it kind of looked like we did. You know, and I hope that that's been rectified. That was many years ago when he told me that story. But it's easy to forget, and we need to remember those who, with gratitude. And I think this video that you just saw says that, and that those who come against our freedom, we have a responsibility to protect our freedom, not only for this generation, but for the memory of those who paid the price for this generation. One of the things I'm always impressed with is when I read things from the our founding fathers, how often they spoke about their posterity. You know, that they were doing things for us. John Adams said that he studied war so that his sons could study engineering, so that their sons could study the arts. Kind of an interesting perspective on what the future is. If we don't preserve this bastion of freedom here in America, if we don't stand up and pay our price, it may not be here for the next generation. Ronald Reagan said it only takes one generation for freedom to disappear. And I believe that's true. We see it being eroded right before our very eyes. We were talking about this at the Band of Brothers meeting that we had Saturday. What can we do? What should we do? Well, I think we stand on the wall and do what we can. We need to become more vocal. Stop being shy Christians. Stop being shy patriots. And speak up when people say disparaging things about God and country. And just be vocal about it. If you hurt somebody's feelings, that's too bad. They hurt your feelings. You know, I'm not suggesting you take a gun and shoot them. But I am suggesting that you tell them the truth. Most of the people, one of the things we talked about Saturday, some of the rioting that you've seen in the cities in the last several months, the majority, and I didn't count noses, but just my observation, well, let me just put it this way, a great number of those who were there were young white women. Now, why would that be so? Statistic for you. Most of the people graduating from college today are white women. And they're being poisoned with a philosophy of Marxism and other things in the universities. And so that's why you're seeing that happen. They don't know what you know. Now, maybe they'll listen to you, maybe they won't. But if you don't say something, yeah, you know, I'm not asking you to take a gun and go to war. I'm just asking you to use the knowledge and the voice that you have and to speak and not be so bashful about it. The thing that changes men and women's lives is Jesus Christ. And we need to proclaim that. And America won't exist because you want it to. America will exist because you do something to make it happen. We're not at a stage yet where we're pulling out guns and armament, and I hope we never do. But we are certainly at the stage where we need to speak up. You know, wear colors, put an American flag on your house, be bold about it. This is one of my favorite pins I love because it's got two flags on it, both American flags. One is a colonial flag with the 13 stars, and the other is the latest United States flag with 50 stars on it. And I like it because it reminds me of both. Both are important. So, men, join the service in times of war and in times of peace. When sometimes the cause is not clear, soldiers go anyway. You don't get a chance to ask whether or not you approve or don't approve of what's being done. When you sign up, when you give that oath, you go wherever you're told to go. And if you don't go, there are options. Say, go. Put you in a brig, give you a court martial, and if you do enough things bad, you might find yourself being executed for not doing your duty. So that does happen. So they join because there's a need, and they can fill in, and they can do it. They join and agree to go where the strong go. If you're not strong enough, you won't make it in the military. You have to be strong to do it. There's a lot of demands put on your physical body. They join and follow orders because they have taken an oath to do so. Every hour served ensures that our flag is still there. You can be a bookkeeper in an office, or you can be a SEAL doing covert actions, but both serve equally and both deserve equal honor. Travis Mills, a man who lost both arms and a leg, wrote in his book, Tough As They Come, and this is what he wrote. We sleep soundly in our beds because rough men stand ready in the night to visit violence on those who would do us harm. Let me read that again for you. We sleep soundly in our beds because rough men stand ready in the night to visit violence on those who would do us harm. That's true. That happens. Many things you'll never know. I have a nephew who's a former Navy SEAL. He now works for Homeland Security. And there were times when he was young, he would just disappear. We didn't know where he was. And we've talked to him, and he would say, oh, come on, you don't need to know where I've been. And I don't know where he's been, but I know he's been in danger in preserving our nation for us. So the young men, and now young women too, are doing those things. Veterans are cut from the same cloth as David, the warriors. David said, this day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. That's a warrior. Today I'll give your carcass of the Philistine army, not only you, Goliath, but your whole army. That's the attitude. There was an event that took place, I believe it was in Iraq, if I'm not mistaken. An American soldier had been captured by the enemy. And they were trying to hide him because they wanted to keep him for propaganda and other reasons. But his comrades, fellow soldiers, wanted to get him. And they started interrogating the locals, and they found out where he was. And he wrote in a book that I read that he was had a blindfold on, and he was tied up, and he knew that he was in the, you know, just probably a house or something. He said, suddenly, there's this loud noises, and boy, he said, just guns going off, and the doors broken open, and he said, it was violent. And he didn't know what was going on. He couldn't see. And he heard English being spoken, and it was his buddies who came to get him. And he said, they grabbed me and picked me up and tore the blindfold off of me and loosed my hands. He said, we're here to get you, buddy. And what was interesting is that guy said, had I not known those guys who were my friends, I would have been scared to death. They were violent in what they did, but they rescued their buddy. So that's the kind of people, they do violent things and risk their lives either for a buddy or a stranger, but they do it because they've sworn an oath to do it when our government has asked them to do. And David ended up his thing and he said, all those who gather here will know that it's not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves. For the Lord, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into my hands. So we recognize that God is with us. I believe God is with us as a nation. I believe he's with us with our army. Our causes have been just. And we have done what was necessary to free people and to bring our military back home. Last thing is, veterans deserve our support. 1 Samuel 16:21 and 18:3-4. David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. And Jonathan, let me stop here for just a minute. Many times in church, people have told me that they were my armor bearers, that they wanted to keep my back. And they soon found out that that's not an easy job, keeping my back. You know, and not all of, some have fallen by the wayside, not all, but some. And some, when somebody comes to me and says, God told me to be your armor bearer, I give them fair warning. Be careful what you ask for, because I serve and in the service of God, the things that I do. The enemy doesn't like what I do. And if you've decided that you're going to protect me, you might find yourself in a battle that you didn't expect to be in. And some of them right here in this room can attest to that being true. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself at the great relationship between Jonathan and David. Jonathan, please listen to this. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing. What was he wearing? He was wearing royal robes of the son of the king, all right? And he gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. That's a lot of stuff to be given a little shepherd boy, you know, Jesse's baby boy. All Americans are under the protection provided by veterans. Veterans have paid the price for us to be here, in war and in peace. Nowhere in the code of conduct does it say that the soldier protects only those that he likes or who appreciate his sacrifice. That, you know, they do it anyway. They protect the best of us and the worst of us. And that's what they do. Without prejudice. It's our job to be Jonathans to the Davids of America. That's what we need to do. We're to love them. Said that Jonathan loved David. We need to love the military. How do you know if you love someone? It's the way you prove you love. If you say, there's a story about a guy got married. And at the wedding, he told his wife that he loved her. And some of you heard this story. It's an old one. It's been around a while, but it proves the point. And 50 years later, he had never told his wife again that he loved her. And they were up in age, and she finally approached him. And she said, you told me when we got married that you loved me, but you've never said it again. He said, honey, I told you I love you when the day we got married. And if anything changes, I'll let you know. You know, so that won't work very well to keep a marriage going. But you do things and you prove your love. In 1 Corinthians 13, when it talks about love, love is something that you do. It says love is kind, it's patient. Kindness is something you do. You're kind to someone. You're patient with that individual. You don't keep count of wrongs done. You don't keep score. You know, all those things are something that you can do. So love is something that we do. It's our job to be Jonathans. We're to love them. We're to give them our best. It said Jonathan took off his robe he was wearing, and he gave it to David. We need to give our best to our veterans. Treat them well. This is not give you my opinion. If I had my way, everyone who serves in the United States military would get a home free of charge. And they would never pay taxes in this country again. I would treat them so well, people would be standing in line to get in the military. Because they pay a great price for us to be here, and we don't do nearly enough for them as we should. We do some things. Thank goodness, you know, some of the little things that Donald, it's not a little thing, some of the things Donald Trump has done for our veterans, he's the first guy to straighten out the veterans hospital system. He got rid of this idea where you can't fire people. Anybody can get fired who works in the Veterans Hospital Association today because of Donald Trump if they're doing a bad job, whether it's an orderly or whether it's a doctor. He also made sure that if the waiting line is too long for you to get service in a hospital, you can go to any doctor of your choice and any hospital of your choice, and the United States government will pay for it. Donald Trump did that. Nobody else has ever done it. They've all yacked about it, but nobody did anything, and he's done it. That's one of the reasons. That's just one of the reasons why I'm a Trump fan. We're to give them our best. We're to make sure that they're well-armed with the best. You know, I know about some things that have value. I know the guy who goes down to the marketplace and buys a sword, you know, it probably was made in China, you know, make a joke back in the day. But if the king had a sword made, it was made by craftsmen. That's what Jonathan gave to David. Gave him the best that he had. We need to make sure when our military goes into battle that they are well armed with the best things possible. Not any junky stuff, but the very best. Again, Donald Trump, and this is not a political speech, but Donald Trump spent more money on the United States military than it's ever been spent before, other than during World War II, to equip our army, which was in poor shape. They weren't getting the training they needed. There was, you may not remember this, but there was a couple of instances about a year or so ago where some Navy ships ran into other ships. And I thought, and I was talking with an old Navy salt about it, and I said, what's the matter with those guys? He said, I'll tell you what's the matter with them. They're not being trained. They're not getting the training they need. You need to do things over and over again. They're putting people at the helm of a ship who haven't been properly trained because they're only the one to do it. Donald Trump changed all that. All right? So we need to do our best for them. We need to make sure they're well armed with the best. If they go to war, that they can walk away winners and victors. We are bound to ensure that the soldier who marches off to serve, that he knows that we have his back. One of the things that galls me is the Vietnam War, when these men were in a battlefield and people over here were saying the most despicable things about them. When they were coming back to the United States, getting off of planes, people there with signs, cursing them, spitting at them, throwing stuff on them. Guys, you just came off the battlefield. That's why the veterans never have, from Vietnam, have received the honor that they're due for doing their job. Whether or not we should have been there, that's another story. But when the military goes out, we support them. We have their back. We make sure that they know we're praying for them. Whenever I talk to a veteran or someone, I always tell them, you know, I'm praying for them. I pray for the vets all the time. People in service and those who have gotten out. They need to know that when the time comes and they come home, they're going to have a bed to sleep in and a roof over their head and a doctor waiting for them to take care of them. Now, one of the things that I assume we still do this, and if I'm wrong, somebody can correct me, but you used to come back and you could get a loan for a house that was the interest rate was next to nothing. Well, it ought to be nothing at least, you know, to help them get a house and the down payment was non-existent or very, very small. I hope they're still doing that. I don't know. We certainly know that they're getting veterans' health care taken care of now. They need to know that. The veteran needs to know that we will do for them what they did for us to ensure that they're honored. They honored us, and we need to honor them for the rest of their lives. And he knows, and he needs to know that if he dies, that we will make sure that his resting place is secure and that we will never, ever forget their sacrifice. We do a pretty good job on a big level, but on a small level, we need to make sure we do that. I believe this is the right way to honor our veterans, to let them know and to make sure that they know that we're thinking about them and caring about them on days like today, just having a special day in church. A lot of churches don't do this. They don't have a special day for Memorial Day or Veterans Day. You know, I decided I wanted to do that when we started this church. I think it's important. Maybe there's just a handful of us here, but the handful that come here know that this church cares about them. All right? God honors us, and we ought to give the same honor. God lifts us up when we fall. He never denies us. He makes sure that the warriors in the church have all that they need, and we know that if we die, we go home to be with him. We need to provide that same mindset to our veterans. So find a vet. You see one, thank them. If you can, buy them a meal, a cup of coffee. They will appreciate it. They don't even have to know you did it. You just do it on the side. And when COVID's done, give them a hug if you can. And stand your watch on the wall. We have a watch, and our watch is a watch over our veterans. We're not just a church that hides in the four walls. We're a church that goes out and cares about those in our nation, particularly our veterans. Okay, that's all I've got to say about that. It's a little different kind of sermon for you, not the kind of normally preach next week, God willing. We're going back to the future home of the bride, part three. And we may wrap up Revelations then. By the way, if you ordered a book and you have not received it, the book of Revelation, Pat has them, and you can get them from her, and you will pay her $12, all right, to get the book. That's the cost. In fact, it's less than the cost to get the book, but it's not much. It's very close. So let's all stand. Thank those who have been watching on Facebook and those who have been watching on the internet. We appreciate your tuning in. And if we can be of help to you, just let us know. We're real easy to contact on Facebook or on our webpage, and send us an email. Okay? Father, what's that? Yes, we will. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this day. Thank you for our veterans. I ask you to bless them. Many are getting up in age now. Just because they're getting older doesn't mean they don't need to be blessed. How do they need to be blessed more? Thank you for the veterans in our church. And for those that we have family members who served and are serving, ask you to bless them. Let them feel, the veterans, let them feel the love that we have for them via your Holy Spirit. Take care of us today. Give us a good day. Thank you for the beauty of the day. Let us walk in your divine health. I pray for those who are sick, especially for Joe and Beverly as they fight COVID. I ask you to return their health to them, that they can be restored back into the church building. For David, as he suffers with his pancreatic cancer, I ask you to heal him. For Bob Riles and Denise and their daughter Annie, as they suffer, Bob's in the hospital right now. I ask you to heal him, dear Lord. We speak words of faith, not phony words, not platitudes, Lord. You said if we would pray in the name of Jesus or whatsoever we'd ask, in his name it would be done. We declare healing. Lord Jesus, Isaiah wrote that you were wounded for our transgressions, you were bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement for our peace was upon you, and that by your stripes we are healed. Father, we declare that. We thank you, Jesus, for doing it. And we believe that by the stripes of Jesus there is healing. And so we pray for all those who are sick, for those who are, can't come back to church because of this COVID thing. We pray that COVID would go back to its origin and leave our nation forever and ever. Father, that it'll never be in not only in this nation, but around the world, that this this plague would be abolished. And Father, we pray for Donald Trump, our president, and Mike Pence, our vice president, and for their families, that you would protect them. I can't imagine the pressure that they're under today. Father, I ask you to let the truth of this election be made known, and that the count, whatever it is, let the truth be made known and corrected. We thank you, Father, for those who have to make tough decisions right now. But as Americans, as citizens with the right to vote, we pray that our all valid votes would be counted, and we'll live with the results of that. We thank you, Father, and we praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Thank you for being here.